Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Returning again now to the Mother and Baby Homes Commission report, which is due to be published tomorrow. And serious concerns have been raised once again about the data rights of children adopted from the homes. This is despite the Minister previously clarifying that GDPR would apply to the records. There are also calls for the state apology that is expected on Wednesday from the Taoiseach to be delayed to allow survivors time to digest the findings of the report. Well, I'm joined now by Mary Steed, who was born in the Bessborough House and adopted to the US, and also by Simon McGar, who is Solicitor and Director of Data Compliance Europe. And thank you both very much for joining us this evening. Mary, I'll come to yourself, and on that issue as to whether or not the Taoiseach should delay the state apology, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't really have any thoughts on the apology. Apologies, to me, I'm sorry, are meaningless when, you know, they're asked for. They should have been done long ago. So I think that's sort of a distracting tactic. I mean, yes, in fairness, we should all be given the opportunity to read, digest, and analyze the full report. And certainly I'd be in favor if an apology awaits that. Terrific. But I just don't put much truck in apologies, to be honest.
Okay. Well, obviously, we don't have the report itself yet, but the Sunday Independent yesterday said that the Commission couldn't prove or disprove that the institutions were paid for foreign adoptions when babies were taken from the institutions. I know, as I said, you were born in Bessborough and then you were adopted to the US. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and whether or not there were payments involved?
Yes. Of course, according to the 1952 Adoption Act, there were not supposed to be any type of financial transactions involved in an adoption other than administrative fees. Now, to the best of my understanding, what I have heard from my adoptive parents, they did pay administrative fees. They paid for the full airfare of the escort that brought me into JFK Airport. And more importantly, one thing that I am keenly aware of is the fact that every year at Christmas up until 1983, they did continue to send $100 donations to Bessborough. So, you know, whether or not that can be proven, what happened to those files, ledgers, anybody's guess.
And what age were you adopted at?
I was 18 months when I arrived in the U.S., but the adoption obviously had, you know, started to progress from probably about when I was 9 months old. That was the correspondence between my parents and Sacred Heart.
I believe your birth mother was with you right up until the time you were adopted. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. She left Bessborough 2 weeks after I left to go to the U.S.
And have you spoken to her since?
I did, yes. Well, of course. We reunited back in 2001. We first met in 2002. She was living in the UK. And we enjoyed 12 years of back and forth visits, regular phone calls up until she passed in 2013.
How do you feel then, Mary, knowing that this report is due to be published this week and by all intents and purposes, from what we've heard thus far, it is going to be very distressing for people who weren't, personally affected, never mind people who were. How do you feel in advance?
Anxiety is at a peak. For myself, I've been involved in this as an advocate and campaigner for the better part of 25 years. So certainly there's nothing in that report that will shock me. It's probably early to say that it would traumatize me. It's always traumatizing to hear anyone else's story, never mind my own. It's been a very anxious couple of months leading up to this.
Well, stay with us if you don't mind, because as I said, we're also joined on the line by Simon McGar. And I know, Simon, that you have serious concerns about the archive and around the data rights around them. Can you talk us through that?
Yes, your listeners will probably remember there was something of a furore about this back in October of last year when the minister was asserting that he was going to bring in a 30-year seal and seal away the records that would be transferred to him from the commission before that people would be able to stop people from accessing those records for 30 years. Now, as it happened, that was not in accordance with EU law. And the minister asserted that EU law didn't apply to these records. And he continued to assert that up until the moment that the Attorney General said that it was the Attorney General's opinion that EU law did apply. Now, that means that the GDPR rights of people to be able to write in and say we would like to have a copy of our records were then recognised by the minister, and he accepted that that would happen. Unfortunately, before that happened, there was a section incorporated into the Act that he was passing which allowed the Commission, in fact instructed the Commission, that it would write to certain people who had given evidence and invite them to have their information redacted from files, either from documents or also in respect of the evidence that they had given as well. Now, the Minister and the Attorney, on foot of the Attorney General's advice, agreed that when people wrote in where there were two competing interests, be it the adopted person and the parent or any other pair of interests, where there were two competing interests, there would be a balancing test applied to ensure that there was a fair assessment of both interests before the decision was made whether to release or not release information. Unfortunately, this Section 6 means that information will be deleted, redacted, before it reaches the minister and before that balancing test would be applied. In other words, by the time that people write in looking for their data, it may not be there anymore.
Okay, now, so the practical implication of that would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, would be that children who may have been adopted or lived in the mother and baby homes who may be searching for their birth parents may have written to the department asking for their information to be redacted, so that information won't be available to their children. Is that the issue?
That is the crux of the issue. And that's not to say that the children will, in every instance, would be given this. But the minister has recognised that the law requires that their interests be considered before any redactions be applied, that both parties should have their interests considered and a balancing be done in respect of the two rights. Here, the Section 6 in the Act, because it was passed before the minister admitted the GDPR applied, there's no such balancing act provided for. And as a result, the promise of being able to access people's data on foot of a balancing act may turn out to be somewhat hollowed for some people if the data has already been redacted, in fact deleted, before it was even passed to the minister.
And do we know, Simon, when you're using words like redacted, you know, you can unredact documents, I'm sure, but deleted, can they be retrieved? Is it too late then in some instances for some people?
Well, the Commission will be extinguished after this particular project is finished. And it says they will redact all personal data to which the request relates from either the evidence or documents before depositing that evidence or document with the minister. Now, this seems like it would be an irrevocable deletion. There doesn't seem to be anything left. The Commission will be defunct, and therefore there doesn't seem to be any entity that would hold the unredacted records.
And can you understand that? I want to come to you, Mairead, in just a second for your reaction to it. But can you understand it, Simon, from the point of view of the women who would have given testimony to the Commission on the basis of being anonymous if they wanted to be, who may be very upset at the idea of not having their details redacted, that is something that maybe would have been a condition for them in terms of giving testimony to the Commission?
100%. And I don't say that there is an absolute automatic right for one person to have access to data over the other person's rights to have their privacy looked after. I think that's really important to say. But what I am saying is that the Attorney General and the Minister have acknowledged there must be a balancing. I mean, we know that TUSLA have, in circumstances where the parents have died, TUSLA have argued that they will not release information on the basis that it might upset other surviving members of the extended family. So I think it's really important that these things be balanced and they be proportionate. And that's the necessary test. Is it proportionate? I think in this case, it isn't.
Mary, what are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, I would be totally on board and agree with what Simon is saying. In my own case, I know I had used the prior mechanisms, which would have been FOI and the precursor to GDPR, the DPA, and requested my information back in 2011. Now, while I did get a fairly fulsome file, you know, including a lot of detail, there were certain segments in the listing index at the front that were redacted or left out under Section 4 of the then DPA Act. I have a sense that those items that were withheld from me pertain to people who at that time might have been still living, or the TUSLA felt were still living or thought. I now know, you know, all of the players, both my natural parents, my adoptive parents, are all since passed on. And I'm interested to test it, you know, under GDPR to see would that be redacted, that same information.
All right. Yes. Well, we'll leave it there for this evening. But thank you both so much for joining us. That's Mary Steed from the Philomena Project and also Simon McGarr, solicitor and director of Data Compliance Europe.